As NSA leaker Edward Snowden makes his way from Moscow to what sounds like Cuba or Venezuela today, the debate across the country continues over government transparency and what sorts of things the public should know about its government's actions. Our next guests say the conversation about government transparency and open records at the state and local level is much less robust. They and others contend it is an important one. They point to a study showing Michigan to be one of the least open states in the country. In 2012, we earned a failing grade and was ranked 44th out of 50 states in a state integrity investigation conducted by the Center for Public Integrity, Global Integrity, and Public Radio International. And there are two bills making their way through the state legislature that our guests say will make Michigan's court system even less transparent. Jane Briggs Bunting is the executive director of the Michigan Coalition for Open Government. She's also an attorney, a former Free Press reporter, and the former director of MSU's School of Journalism. Jane, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
And also with us, Patrick Clausen, a former CNN investigative reporter and currently an open government advocate based in Flint. Hi, Pat.
Top of the morning, sir.
Jane Briggs Bunting, who conducted this investigation, and what did it measure exactly?
Well, the Center for Public Integrity and a couple of other members of the consortium did that just to check availability and access to public records, the cost, the time elements involved, and how long it takes when you make a public records request to get it, and what sort of information is exempt. And Michigan, as you can see, did not fare well. And that's one of the reasons Michigan Coalition for Open Government exists. Michigan was one of two states nationally up until this December 2012, that did not have any sort of Freedom of Information group at all. Alaska was the other one.
Okay.
So 48 other states had public access groups that were advocating to make sure that there was transparency and accountability in government. Michigan lacked that.
Pat Clausen, you've been following this for a while. Give us a little bit of your background and your findings with regard to this issue.
Well, I've been an investigative reporter much of my life. I've also worked as a private investigator. I live over in the Flint area, and I work here in Michigan doing process serving and public interest investigations, that sort of thing. When I came to Michigan in 2004 from Washington, D.C., I came back home after spending a lot of years on the East Coast working in big league media. I made my first Freedom of Information Act request. I was working on a book about, believe it or not, public records in Michigan. And I found out that the Department of Management and Budget here keeps a roster of forms that state agencies use. I asked for a copy of that roster of forms, that catalog of forms. I ended up getting called by a detective sergeant of the Michigan State Police Major Case Squad wanting to know why I was requesting records from a government agency, and they wanted to see me in their offices in Lansing right away.
Wow.
It showed to me that there was a real problem in Michigan with the climate of secrecy here. And as I've been working in the state now for the last 9 years, I've discovered that secrecy is a cancer that just permeates almost every level of government in this state, and it's especially bad in the courts.
So it's not a matter of neglect. It is, you would assert, it's more conspiratorial than that?
Well, I don't think it's conspiratorial. I think it's just a culture that has taken root here after decades of inattention from the press and from public interest groups. Government officials here seem to believe that they can just conduct whatever business they want to in secret. Take a look at what Governor Snyder is doing now by having employees that are advising him in nonprofits that are off the books of state government and holding these secret skunkwork meetings to talk about education planning. All of this off the books, all of this off the charts with no public accountability. Same kind of thing goes on in the courts here, where secret hearings are held all the time, court files are suppressed, records are closed. We just had a circuit court judge over in Genesee County try to have the records sealed on his paternity case. And I intervened and we stopped and we got those records remaining open to the public.
What's the awareness, Jane Briggs Bunting, of this issue amongst the wider public, and does it ever come up in the legislature?
There's not a lot of awareness in the general public. That's one of the reasons MCOG, Michigan Coalition for Open Government, exists, trying to get people involved in it. A lot of times, I would say at the small local level, a lot of times it's ignorance. The public officials simply don't know what the law is. But the higher you go within the state bureaucracy, county bureaucracies and the larger urban areas, they fully well know the law, and they've been aggressively doing everything they can to prevent access, to not even to prevent it as much as to discourage it. Right now, Michigan's Freedom of Information Act has a 5 business day requirement for response with an additional 10 business days if the public body requests it. They go, you know, most public entities blow past that deadline repeatedly and with impunity.
Mark, just a year ago, actually almost a year and a half ago, I helped the Flint Chamber of Commerce put in a Freedom of Information request for bond offering documents, for a bond offering that the city of Flint did to try to bail itself out of insolvency. Mm-hmm. They have failed to respond to that even now.
Well, and how is this, does this get coverage in Flint? Does this development get coverage statewide?
No. Most of the news organizations in Michigan have cut back on their staff so much. There are very few reporters doing any kind of investigative work in Michigan to begin with.
There's a real irony to that because FOIA requests often come from media. You would think the media might be on top of this, but there's an irony to
Surprisingly,
that.
Most FOIA requests in this state come from business groups, not from the press. It's businesses seeking competitive information.
Oh, I see.
And that's okay. Now. I mean, the media was much more aggressive at it. Some news organizations still are very aggressive at it. The Free Press, certainly, you know, with the whole Kwame Kilpatrick thing. WXYZ has done a terrific job. In fact, eliminating a justice from the Michigan Supreme Court, Diane Hathaway. They've also been after Wayne County's executive for mismanagement and other concerns there. So the media has done stuff, but there are so few who are capable, and media organizations simply can't afford it. They don't even, and the public bodies know, they absolutely know that they're not going to get pushed. They're not going to get taken to court on it because it's too expensive. And media companies are not going to pay that bill anymore.
You know, Mark, one of the most aggressive groups in the state of Michigan on freedom of information issues for the last several years has been the Michigan Council of Professional Investigators, not the press. The private investigators of Michigan, I'm a member of that organization, have a vested interest in keeping public records open to inspection. Much of the press has just not even been on the radar screen when it comes to fighting these battles before the legislature or the state Supreme Court. The Michigan Press Association, which represents most of the state's major newspapers, plays a very minimal role in any kind of freedom of information fights in this state, much to my lament.
Does this come up in the legislature, though?
Yes, it does come up in the legislature. There's bills that have, you know, come up in the past couple of months. You know, there's a few months in terms of, you know, trying to tighten down the fee thing. Fees became a huge issue a few years ago. In the 1990s, it used to be the lowest paid person in the organization would be the fee charge. Now it's the lowest paid person capable of retrieving the information. That instantly went from the desk clerk to the police chief. At universities, you know, from a secretary, a clerical person, to the general counsel at their hourly rate. And so when you put that kind of price tag on information, public information, that people have already paid for with their taxes, it becomes increasingly outrageous. And I will add to Pat, there's two groups who have done a lot of FOIAing, and one in particular is the Mackinac Center. The Mackinac Center, a nonprofit, has gone after a lot of information, and the Center for Michigan has gone after a lot of information using FOIA.
And Mark, I got to tell you one thing that you ought to be proud of because you're a broadcaster as I am, okay, is I must tell you the Michigan Association of Broadcasters has been at the forefront of many of these freedom of information fights, and they've been a terrific ally in trying to keep information flowing to the public.
Speaking of the legislature, though, you're meeting later today with the State Court Administrator's Office to discuss two bills in the Senate Judiciary Committee. At the moment, you oppose these bills. What would these bills do, and why do you oppose them?
These bills would make the court information, access to court records, far more difficult, far more expensive, and maybe even not available at all. There's a couple of examples here. One is the state is trying to digitize statewide, make e-filing for court records mandatory in from the district court all the way up to the state Supreme Court, a terrific idea. The problem becomes is if you're a non-litigant, litigants can get access, but they're going to have to pay for it. But if you're a non-litigant, simply a member of the public, it's going to cost you, even to look at it online on screen. And there's no clear information now is what those charges are going to be, because the sole discretion for charging for fees for this is going to be left with the Supreme Court and the State Court Administrator's Office. No check, no balance, no legislative oversight. They just are, you know, this bill will give the judiciary a carte blanche in charges, which is crazy. The second thing that's going on is there's a proposal to create secret mental health courts. in this state, which means someone who's involved in a supposedly nonviolent crime with mental health issues can go in there, plead guilty. Everything's kept secret and quiet. The sentence will be to go through a mental health program of some sort and then to be discharged from it. All of the data, all of the information on this, everything on this, according to the proposed bill, will be kept secret, will be exempt from disclosure from the public. And that's, you know, frankly, if you want to talk mental health, insane.
Mark, let me give you an idea how some of these secret court bills are actually working right now. Last year, the legislature passed a bill for secret courts involving veterans and drug offenders, all right? Literally hours after the Veterans Court Bill was signed into law by Governor Snyder, Saginaw County court officials tried to move the case of a court officer who had been charged with felony crimes. They tried to move it into one of these secret veterans courts to get it off of the public docket so people didn't know. These things breed corruption. Now, in the case of the fees that the state is trying to charge right now on these electronic court systems, they're astronomical. For instance, in Ottawa County, where they're already running one of these pilot electronic filing systems, for a member of the public to check into the court just to check to find out, for instance, what data is set for their case, it cost them $12 to log online and then another $2.50 for every record that they want to look at. So just to check a court date is $14.50. That's ludicrous. And court officials tell me privately they're setting the fees up high because they don't want the public using court records. Mm.
We've had segments on this program involving mental health courts and veterans courts, and generally they have been portrayed as a very progressive idea, an idea whose time has come. But with both of those examples, you are saying there is a secrecy involved in record keeping with regard to both of those things. You're not necessarily condemning the idea of a mental health court or a veterans court for those particular purposes. It's just that those are two examples where secrecy and disclosure is just not taking place.
There should not be secrecy in the courts. The courts historically at the federal level, at the state levels, have been the most transparent of the three bodies of government. Further, there's a Michigan law which says the sittings of all courts shall be public. And furthermore, there's a United States Supreme Court decision called Richmond Newspapers versus Virginia that said criminal trials, have to be open because there's a First Amendment right of public access. So for the public to be able to watchdog. You know, that's being totally ignored by these proposals in Michigan and by these other courts that are operating in secret. Certain parts of courts can obviously be secret. You've got a kid involved in a sexual molestation. You know, the court can be closed for that because it could be intimidating, but it's a limited closure. And a transcript is taken, a transcript is kept, and a transcript is released.
We're talking with Pat Clausen and Jane Briggs Bunting about disclosure in Michigan and transparency and open records. Is any part of government already charged with the responsibility of ensuring some level of transparency or openness?
No.
I'll tell you specifically,
a failing grade.
I'm thinking of departments like the Inspector General. I read these accounts occasionally from inspectors general who will reveal mismanagement of one sort or another. So there is an Inspector General's office. But with regard to transparency, nothing is happening, Pat?
Well, there is a bill pending in the legislature right now that's sponsored by Representative Tom McMillan that would create kind of like a FOIA oversight, Freedom of Information and Open Government oversight body in the state government. But that bill has not gone to a vote yet. Hearings are still being held on that. Hopefully we'll see some action when the legislature comes back from its summer recess. That's a good step forward. But what we have to promote in Michigan is a climate and a culture of openness in government. And that does not exist here right now. From the top down, from the Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court to the governor of the state of Michigan on down, there is no openness, there is no candor, no transparency for the citizens in this state. And as a taxpayer, I'm outraged by that. I want to know how these guys are using my money. I want to know how they're taking actions that are going to affect the public. In the case of the state Supreme Court, last October, the Michigan State Supreme Court actually issued rules barring the public disclosure of the financial records of the court system of Michigan. Now, the Constitution of the state of Michigan says all financial records of government bodies in this state are open to public inspection. But the Michigan Supreme Court, last October in a rulemaking action, exempted itself from the Michigan state constitution. That is arrogance unbridled.
Patrick Clausen is a former CNN investigative reporter and is currently an open government advocate based in Flint. Jane Briggs Bunting is the executive director of the Michigan Coalition for Open Government. Thanks to both of you for joining us today to talk about government transparency in Michigan.
Thank you.